The United States isn't a pushover anymore in the world of men's soccer. The team reached the quarterfinals of the World Cup in 2002, and some observers have speculated the U.S. might do even better when the tournament is held again next year in Germany. But one unforeseen roadblock has emerged, a labor dispute. Yesterday, the U.S. Soccer Federation said that they would start recruiting a replacement team if things aren't worked out with the players' union. Joining me, as he does most Fridays, is sports writer Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal. Welcome once again, Stefan.
Hi, Robert.
Tell us about the labor conflict.
It's a pretty nasty one. Players are looking to lift the compensation for representing the U.S. to levels that approach what other countries with world-class teams pay their national team members. The players want to about double their pay over the 4 years from 2002 to 2006. They've been playing without a contract for the last couple of years. The Federation has offered around 5 to 10% annual increases. Now, there's some good arguments for boosting pay. The U.S. is ranked 11th in the world now. Dozens of Americans play for top-flight teams in Europe. And the U.S. Federation's revenues have skyrocketed in recent years, largely because of the success of the men's and women's teams.
Well, when a player who is playing for a team in Europe or a team here in the States goes and plays for the national team, what do they get paid now? And what do they want to get paid instead?
Well, you got to go back historically, I think, and take a look at what they were paid and how it's gone up. In the early 90s, players were getting around $200 for starting a U.S. national team game. Players who didn't get into the games got even less, sometimes nothing. Pay did increase throughout the decade, and right now it's about $2,000 to $4,000 per player per game, depending on the opponent and depending on the tournament. From 1999 to 2002, players made in aggregate around $10 million. It sounds like a lot, but it works out to about $50,000 per player, and the bulk of the money came from big bonuses that the U.S. team got when they advanced as far as they did in the World Cup.
Now, you compare that to some other countries where the national team is a bigger deal. How much are they getting paid per game?
Let's take Portugal, for instance. Right now, in a World Cup qualifying game, Portuguese players are going to get 14,000 euros for winning a World Cup qualifier.
Well, the World Cup isn't until the summer of 2006, but there is this long qualifying process before teams get there. Where are we now in that process, and how is this dispute affecting the U.S.?
We're into the third round of regional qualifying. The U.S. is in a 16 group with Mexico, Trinidad and Tobago, Guatemala, Panama, and Costa Rica. The top three finishers in the group are going to automatically go to the World Cup, which consists of 32 teams. Teams are going to play each other twice over the next 8 to 10 months to decide who goes. The first U.S. game is set for February 9th in Trinidad, and right now it looks unlikely that the U.S. is going to send its best players. The players didn't attend a training camp in December. The Federation declared them on strike. The Federation now has locked out any player who has ever attended a national team camp or played in a game.
Well, I mean, are U.S. replacement players, that is, the U.S. national second string, are they capable of beating Trinidad and Tobago or Panama?
We're not even talking about a second string. We're probably talking about the Federation trying to get Major League Soccer, that's the U.S. Pro League, trying to convince American players who have never played for the national team to join that team. A lot of those players aren't going to want to become scabs. They may be looking to the future. Maybe they'll get a chance to legitimately represent the U.S. Then you'd have to go down to the under-20 team for the United States, and a lot of those players are going to be in the same situation. And after that, we're talking about minor leagues in the U.S. or lower divisions in Europe.
So what happens next in that case?
Well, we start the qualifying, and every game in this round matters. This is it. If the U.S. doesn't make it to Germany, there'll be huge financial and reputational consequences. The United States is trying to become a legitimate world power in this sport. It's still viewed derisively by the powers in South America and Europe, and this just isn't helping. If they don't make it, it's a big blow.
Thank you, Stefan.
Thanks, Robert.
Sports writer Stefan Fatsis of the Wall Street Journal, who talks with us Fridays about sports and the business of sports.